Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. I was going to continue today in the Agape Love series, but on the way up here, God changed messages again. So we're going to maybe do that later, but we are going to go somewhere else first. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. Years ago, Pastor Stevens preached a message called Manufactured Storms. I think this was one of the most important messages that he could have preached. Manufactured Storms. And the reason is because of the way that the spiritual warfare operates. But not only the spiritual warfare. See, the spiritual warfare cannot take advantage of me if I'm operating with the right mind, with the right heart, if there's a cross in my life. But it can touch me if I am not. Remember, the wicked one touches us not. The wicked one touches us not. But at the same time, sometimes the wicked one does touch us. And so how can we say the wicked one touches us not and then have the wicked one touch us? But the fact of the matter is that the wicked one touches us not. When Job was attacked by the enemy, he had 6 trials. The first ones he did great in, but at the end he started to fail. Now the reason why he failed was because he was starting to live in these manufactured storms. In our lives, we have to watch out for manufactured storms. Manufactured storms are a huge part of the angelic conflict against us. And so, we have to be very aware of manufactured storms. Sometimes we manufacture the storms. Sometimes the enemy manufactures the storms. But the storms that God brings are not manufactured storms. The storms that God brings are the trials and the testings of our faith. But yet at the same time, He'll sometimes use those manufactured storms as trials and testings of the faith. And the amazing thing is that the solution for the believer is the same in both of them. But we have to understand this principle of manufactured storms. The reason is that believers often wind up chasing their own tail. They keep going in circles, trying to deal with themselves, when then themselves are not either the source or the problem. And so they live in these manufactured storms, trying to resolve them in completely ineffective ways. And they wonder why it's not working. Because they're trying to apply the Word of God to their lives and it doesn't work for them. Well, I've got news for you. It won't. Yes, we apply the Word of God in our lives. Absolutely. 100%. But we have to rightly divide the Word of truth, number one. And number two, we have to rightly apply the Word of truth. The Word of truth is divided in the same way that it is applied, through the Holy Spirit's initiations. And so we have to learn how to live in that instead of living in these manufactured storms. Now, I will say one thing about all storms. They're not real. I'll say one thing about all mountains. They don't exist. But we say to ourselves, there is a mountain, there is a storm. And we do this a lot. Why do we do this? Because we can foresee an outcome that we don't desire. And because we fear the outcome that we don't desire, we say, well, this is a mountain. And really, the only thing that turns something into a mountain is fear. Let's say that we are in a circumstance that challenges us and we say, this is a storm. But the only thing that is actually challenging the storm is our emotional response to the circumstances. There is actually no storm. Now, when the Word of God says in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27 that God's arms are forever beneath us, when we are upheld by the Word of His power, when in Romans 14:4 He causes us to stand, that tells me that there really is no such thing as a storm. And there is no such thing as a mountain. All there really is for the believer is rest. We lay down in green pastures. And that means we are living in the places of life. And this is where we are resting, in the places of life. What are the places of life for the believer? The Word of God, the promises of God, the character of God, the faithfulness of God. These are the places of life for the believer, and this is where we rest. Now, in Hebrews 4:2, where the storms become manufactured is this. The Word of God tells us that not mixing faith with what they heard resulted in the Word of God not profiting them. Since they didn't mix faith with the Word of God, they did not receive the benefit of the Word of God. It did not increase them. The word profit is just that, increase, to build. It did not increase them, it did not build them, it did not enlarge their capacity, it did not enlarge their faith, it did not do anything for them. And thereby, they failed to enter into His rest. Any time that I fail to enter into His rest, I enter into a manufactured storm. Let me explain how these manufactured storms work. Something happens. Maybe you have a job and things go bad and now you are afraid you're going to lose your job. And the circumstance may actually be taking place. Manufactured storms don't require real circumstances. Another mechanism of manufactured storms is simple perception and nothing more through subjectivity. Somebody is perhaps tired or distracted, and I am subjective and emotionally oriented. I come in and they don't say hello to me. I may even say hello to them and they don't say hello to me. And all of a sudden the thoughts start going. And a lot of those thoughts are initiated by the atmosphere. And the thoughts start going and say, hey, they're rude to you. What do they say? Why didn't they talk to you? What's the matter with them? Well, don't they like me? And you build this thing into this huge thing, and the fact of the matter is the person was just distracted. It really had nothing at all to do with you, but they were just distracted or tired, or maybe they were thinking about something and they didn't hear you. Pastor Scheller said one time in Hungary he had people leave his church because when he walked into the McDonald's he didn't see them to say hello. Well, the church wasn't in McDonald's. He just happened to be there at the same time they were. He just wanted to grab a bite to eat. But they were there. They saw him. He didn't see them. He didn't say hello. Because he didn't see them, they got offended and left. Well, you know, that's a manufactured storm. People say, I'm not getting enough attention. Maybe you're getting exactly the attention that God wants you to get. We've actually had that happen, where some people wanted attention, but the Holy Spirit was saying, don't give it. Why? Because they needed to learn not to live in their old sin nature and the lust of approbation. And this became a storm in somebody's life. It was a manufactured storm. Manufactured storms are just as dangerous to the believer as though they were real. Because the only difference between a storm that is circumstantial and a storm that is subjective is perception. And in that perception, there is no difference whatsoever. In other words, the manufactured storm and the circumstantial storm, they're the same thing. There's no such thing as a storm. Why do I say that? Because Romans chapter 8 tells us that all things are from God. And all things are for our sake. All things work together for good. And so we know that really there's no such thing as a storm. There may be challenges, but challenges aren't storms. It's like saying that a kid is in school and they get a quiz. And the quiz challenges them. And they call the quiz a storm. It's not a storm. It's a part of the learning process. It was designed with purpose. It was brought with purpose. And there's a desired outcome to the challenge, and it has purpose. That's not a storm. That's a plan. That's not a storm. Yet because we become oriented in our emotions usually, doesn't have to be exclusively, but most often it happens in our emotions, toward ourselves, toward the way things feel, we live in these manufactured storms. Something doesn't go my way, my emotions flip out. Now I have a storm. These storms are not anything at all. However, there is a source to the storm. And the source is twofold. Faith and humility. I don't operate in faith, and I don't operate in humility. And now I have the potential for a manufactured storm. Now, in 1 Samuel 13, Saul had a manufactured storm. Samuel told him, "Stay here where you are." And this was the gathering point for the army of Israel to go to war against the army of the Philistines. "Stay here where you are and wait for me. I'll be back in 7 days." Now, Samuel was not coming back early enough for Saul's taste, for Saul's preference. And because Saul was there waiting for Samuel and watching the Philistines mount up their army, I mean, they were gathering there. He's got 7 days to watch the Philistines gathering. And the Philistines were not slouches. This was a powerful army. For their day, they would have been considered a superpower if they were today. So the Philistines are gathering. Saul is watching this. The army of Israel is getting nervous. Some of them are running away. And Saul is developing a manufactured storm. In his lack of humility and in his lack of faith, Saul does something that actually destroys his kingdom. And he does it out of self-preservation. In manufactured storms, the problem is always self-preservation. I try to save my life from what is perceived. But remember something, it's just a perception. And that is all it is. The reality was not that God would not come through for Israel. God most certainly would come through for Israel. Israel had God's promises. The reality was not that the Philistines were too strong. The Philistines were just as strong as God would allow them to become. The problem was not that there were a lot of them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God was on Israel's side, not on the side of the Philistines. That's why Israel is still here today. The Philistines have been gone for millennia. These were manufactured storms, and they were brewing in Saul's perception. And as he's operating in his subjective perceptions, he is leaving faith behind. He's not trusting the man of God. And then he responds in pride. And instead of waiting for Samuel to offer an offering to God before the battle, Saul decides, I'm going to do this myself. It's getting too hot here. It's getting too risky, too dangerous, too many Philistines. We're going to have to go into battle. I'm going to do it myself. And as he does it himself, he commits a transgression that resulted in his losing the kingdom and the kingdom not going to his offspring. When he did that, he stepped out of faith obedience to God. A lack of humility will always take me out of faith obedience. Why does it lack of humility take a person out of faith obedience? Because in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, but the humble will hear and be glad, the psalmist told us. The humble will hear. The humble will hear. And so the one who's not humble cannot have the Word of God on the throne of their heart. Because they will never hear the Word of God to where it becomes a transforming force in their lives. It'll never reign in their heart without humility. What reigns in their heart without humility? Self-consciousness through sight. It's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lived in self-consciousness through sight. In Genesis chapter 3, in the first two verses, the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field. That means he was crafty. That means he knew exactly how to approach the situation. And he started making suggestions to Eve. Eve departed from humility. And when Eve departed from humility, she was no longer capable of operating in faith, and therefore she departed from that also. What did that result in? She started living by sight. She saw that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was pleasant to the eyes and good for food. That was a perception that was gained through looking with her natural senses. And it's exactly what the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that word knowledge, means receiving information through your natural senses. Eve was receiving information through her natural senses, no longer responding in faith that, to the definition that God gave in Genesis chapter 2. When that took place, she started losing the battle, and a manufactured storm came into her life. All of a sudden, she started believing that maybe not everything was as God had said. That maybe it really did not make sense that you could eat of any tree of the garden, but not that one, the best one, the most beautiful one, the one with the most amazing looking fruit. And that's the one that God said not to eat that of that. That makes no sense. And there was the manufactured storm. Manufactured storms are always about perceptions. Faith is about perception. The Word of God, the way that it becomes operational in our lives, is because it changes our perceptions. And as our perceptions take on the perceptions of God, because we start to have the mind of Christ in us, faith starts taking over through the Word of God. In other words, it changes the way we think, changes the way that we understand. changes the way we perceive things. When a believer is living in faith responses to the Word of God, the storms are not there. Now, the Word of God says in Matthew 14 that Peter was in a storm with the disciples in a boat. And Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter saw Jesus, and the disciples were afraid, and they thought it was a ghost. He said, "Don't be afraid, it's me. It's not some ghost, it's me." Well, I can kind of see, they see this tempest, they got hurricane force storm. And, you know, the storms of the waves are probably massive. And they're looking by sight at the waves, at the clouds, at the perhaps rain, at the wind, everything. And all of a sudden, somebody's walking out there. Oh, must be a ghost. Wouldn't you think the same thing? Here's the thing. It was all about their perception. In Jesus' perception, not only was there not a storm, there wasn't water. He was walking on it like it was dry ground. And he's walking on this water, and the fact that it's water means nothing to him. And he's walking on this substance in the midst of this storm. He's not being bothered by the waves. The boat was being tossed to and fro, but Jesus wasn't. Why? He had the right perceptions. You know that part, according to your faith be it unto you? There's something about having the right perceptions that agree with the realities of God that change the outcome, that change your experience, that change everything, including that which is temporal and physical. I mean, this is so much so that doctors have actually measured, and scientists have measured, faith fields. Doctors have tested the results of people who have faith in their illnesses and people who do not have faith in their illnesses. And they have demonstrated that people who have faith that God will heal them get healed on a much higher basis, a much higher percentage of them. Why? Because it's real. They tap into reality. When I live in manufactured storms, when I have perceptions outside of faith, I have perceptions outside of reality. Because in Hebrews 11:1, the Word of God tells me that faith is the evidence and the substance of things that cannot be seen but are real. Well, they have substance and they have evidence. And those are our faith. And the result in the rest of the chapter is a tangible result. So tangible outcomes. When God told Abraham, and he's 100 years old, that he's going to have a son, he had a son. Forget the age. God didn't care about his age. God made his body. He could make his body do anything he wanted it to. And then he lived 78 more years anyway. So you know, his age had nothing to do with it. His wife's age had nothing to do with it. God said, "You're going to have a son. You're going to have a son." God said to Saul, "Wait here." He said it through Samuel. "Wait here for 7 days." Saul should have waited 7 days. Peter asked Jesus in the midst of the storm, "If this is you, bid me to come." And Jesus says, "Come." And Peter walks on the water so long as he has the right perceptions. When he started to sink was when he started to look around and utilize his tree of knowledge again through looking at the circumstances and realizing, hey, this is a storm, this is water, I'm on top of it, this doesn't work. And he starts to sink. That's where we start to sink. Where our perceptions tell us that our circumstances are greater than God's ability. Isn't this why we're afraid? Isn't this really what causes a mountain? Isn't this really what creates a storm? Is that our perceptions tell us that our circumstances are greater than God's ability? We don't really spell that out in our thinking, but that's what we believe. Or we'll start doubting God's character like Eve did. Well, I know God is able, but I don't know that He's willing. You ever hear that one? I know God is able, but I don't know that He's willing. You know what? Every promise of God is yea and amen. God is willing. Whatever God is able on your behalf, God is willing. It's a demonic projection, a lie from the devil, saying that God is not willing to do what God is able for you. And of course, well, it's just me. And really, there's the key to it. I know He can do it for everybody else, but will He do it for me? And I know He could, but will He do it? I don't know that He'll do it for me. Well, what kind of a demonic accusation is that? As though God was some respecter of persons. Oh, that one's better than you, God. Yeah, that one's better than you. You're just a lowly dust ball. I don't do anything for lowly dust balls. I do things for mighty dust balls. Well, you see, that's where these manufactured storms come from. The problem with that thinking is, where is your orientation? Your orientation is not toward the Word of God in circumstances, right? It's toward ourselves. When I look at me, I start to question God. Why? Because I'm looking at me. And I see, I'm not God. When I look at God, I don't question Him and I don't worry about myself. Why? Because I look at God and say, hey, that's God. And I start to understand that God can do all things, that nothing is impossible, that everything is possible, that as He said, so it shall be. When Paul was in the boat, in the storm, in the Mediterranean Sea, just because it was a sea doesn't mean it's dinky. If you've ever seen the Mediterranean, it may as well be the ocean. I mean, really, in effect, it is. Right? I mean, it's connected to the Atlantic, just like a little carving. Same thing with the Gulf of Mexico, right? It's just like a little carving. It's really just the ocean. Well, you know, there was this hurricane and there was a storm and the angel of the Lord stood before Paul and he said, don't worry, Paul, there will be no loss of life. Now, the sailors wanted to jump ship. And Paul said to them, don't do that. We're going to lose the boat, but we're not going to lose any people. Don't do that. Why? Because in the manufactured storm, they were tempted to rely on natural provisions. And natural provisions will never hold up against the enemy's forces, against the enemy's ways. I can only hold up against the enemy. I can only resist the devil with the right perceptions that produce the right decisions. Otherwise, I don't have a snowball's chance. And so we don't live in these manufactured storms. Paul was not going to live in a manufactured storm, even though the storm appeared to be a hurricane. It was nothing. There is no such thing as a storm in a believer's life. They are nothing. I remember reading the testimony of a Christian who was a soldier in Iraq. And this man said that he could hear bullets coming right at him. And you can. You can hear bullets in the air as they come at you. And he said he knew the bullets were coming right at him. And he could hear them. Except then he heard the bullet go around him. And he was not touched by a single bullet. But they were coming right at him. And the reason why he was untouched is because nothing can touch the believer unless God specifically permits it. And if God permits it, it's not a storm, it's a plan. George Washington had a similar experience. There were marksmen shooting at George Washington. And they were taking all kinds of shots and they were going right at him. They shot the horse out from under him, but they could not touch George Washington. And then finally, the marksman wanted to know, who is this man who is being protected by God? And he came to meet George Washington. He said, I was shooting right at you. Isn't that an interesting meeting? Can you imagine being in that meeting? Someone said, I was shooting right at you and I just couldn't hit you. Go figure. You're protected by God. Well, you know, there was no storm that actually existed in that hail of bullets. Why? Because nothing can touch the believer, and it doesn't matter that George Washington was on a horse and not on his knees. If a person belongs to God, nothing can touch them. If a person belongs to God, we cannot be affected by the wicked one. If the person belongs to God, there's no harm that comes to us. We are protected by God. How many people are afraid of, let's say, financial circumstances? And they enter into these manufactured storms because of their financial circumstances. And they start making decisions outside of faith on the basis of their financial circumstances. As though God didn't give promises in the Bible regarding their financial circumstances. Didn't God say He will supply all our needs? Didn't God say that He will not suffer His children to beg for bread? Didn't God say that if you ask Him for fish, He will not give you a stone or a serpent or anything like that? God will provide. You don't have to worry about your financial circumstances. The place where believers get in trouble is when they look at the fact, hey, I don't have enough money in my bank account. And they start answering that notion with natural thinking, making decisions on the basis of that natural thinking, apart from faith in God's ability on their behalf, and they step out of God's will. And that's exactly the plan of the devil for the believer. Instead of walking on the water, stay in the boat. Don't stay in the boat, get in a bigger boat. And you know what? It never deals with their storm. The promises of God deal with manufactured storms. Because the promises of God change my perceptions by telling me the realities of what God will do on my behalf. Remember something. That which is in the Bible is that which is real. And I don't care what your sight tells you. I don't care what the world tells you. That which is in the Bible is that which is real. That which is in the world is that which is illusion. And it's all about your perceptions. Are they going to be rooted in reality or are they going to be rooted in illusions? Now, I'm just certain that somebody out there is going to hear this message and they are going to say to themselves, this is not realistic. What is seen is what is real. And they'll say something stupid like, I know that wall is there, that wall is real. Jesus walked through the walls, by the way. Peter walked on water. But let me ask you something. How do you know there's a wall? I can see it, I can feel it. Let's start with feelings first, because they're quicker. I touch the wall, I know the wall is there. There's an interesting thing about quantum mechanics. It's entirely possible that maybe the wall isn't as entirely there as you think it is. There's some very powerful physics theories that say maybe if you did it in the right way, you could just walk right through that wall that you think is so solid. Maybe that kind of agrees with the fact that God did. He didn't need open doors to appear in places. But how do you know the wall is really there? Well, I can see it's there. I can see it's solid. You don't know what you're doing. You don't see anything at all. That's the deception of walking by sight. Is that even in your sight, you have no sight. Oh, you're telling me that you can see the pictures, if you will, in 3D? And they're all around you, so you got this 360 3D view? Is this what you're telling me? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. You can't see anything at all. See, scientists have showed us that we don't see about 10%. You look out there, and the total of what your eyes are actually receiving and goes back to your brain, 10%. What you're actually seeing is bits and pieces. And the little picture that you see is being produced by your brain. Your brain produces those pictures by perceptions. So you have these sight perceptions, but it's not really sight. Because you can't see except for 10%. So you see blotches. In reality, that's what you see, is blotches. A little bit of wall, a little bit of floor, a little bit of furniture, a little bit of ceiling, a little bit of people. And your brain goes into a catalog and says, what do these lines actually mean? And it finds it in its little mental catalog, what the lines actually means, and it produces the picture. It pulls up the picture. And it says, see, this is what it means. You ever see cats that aren't there? Happens all the time. Look out the corner of your eye. Oh, there's a cat. No, there wasn't. Could have swore there was a cat. Yeah, no, you could have. It's all perceptions. That's why people are so easily fooled by sight. That's the whole thing about these illusionists. Right? They understand that the brain is about perceptions and they give it specific information to trick it into perceptions that aren't real. Do you think the devil can do the same thing? Trick you into perceptions that are not real? And then you live in these manufactured storms. And because people can be self-oriented or emotions-oriented or even intellect-oriented or what have you, something of themselves, and living by sight at the tree of knowledge comes more naturally to the fallen man, faith is produced in the believer, they live in these manufactured storms. Because after all, I can see the storm. Well, I heard what was done. I heard what was said. I heard. You know, hearing is a perception. This is why Jesus said, be careful what you hear, be careful how you hear, because you may not actually be hearing at all. Hearing is a perception. Remember, years ago I had blood poisoning. I didn't know it. And I was sick as a dog. And my wife went to work because we thought I just had a flu. And I was sick as a dog, and I stayed home from work, and I laid there all day, and the window was open, it was in the summertime, and the neighbor was playing the radio all day long. And I didn't really like it because it was worldly. It wasn't nasty worldly, it was just worldly, stuff I used to listen to when I was a kid before I was saved. And I heard the Beatles, and I heard the different ones, I heard the weather forecasts, and sports, and the news. Heard the whole nine advertisements, heard the whole nine yards. And my wife comes home and I mentioned to her the radio and she said, nobody's playing a radio. I heard it all day long. About 8.5 hours. There was no radio. I thought the neighbor was in the backyard all day long. I figured they must have been just outside hanging out. They had a day off or something. There was no radio. It was all perception. But I could hear it clear as day. Be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear. It can produce manufactured storms. And they're nothing more than your perceptions. We never live in these manufactured storms. We respond respond to God in faith and humility. We never look at how things look or what we hear. We never consider those things, because it'll give us the wrong perceptions. Remember, in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Why? Because it gives us the wrong perceptions. And by getting the wrong perceptions, we have the wrong thinking. And with the wrong thinking, we make the wrong decisions, wrong understanding, wrong everything. We always operate in humility and faith. And when circumstances come in a certain way, and we say, I can see this is happening. Let's say you're dealing with people. I can see what this person is doing. This is my kid, and I can see the decisions they are making. Yes, you can. Do you see what God is doing in their heart? That is always very different than what you can see. I have no idea what's going on, really. I can just see, barely. And in that sight, I gain perceptions. So I see my kid doing something I don't like, and I've done my best to be a good parent, and I've done my best to teach them and to love them, and I've done my best before God. I say, God, I'm not perfect, but I'm doing the best that I can. What am I going to do with them? And God will tell you to relax. Just relax. Because all things really do work together for good. So just relax. And then there's somebody who says, yeah, but they work together to them that love God. My kid doesn't love God. Well, why do they love God? It's not that they love God. It's that God loves them first. That's all it's saying. All things work together to them that God loved before they loved Him. So God is in the process of loving and working and ministering, and He's using you as a vessel. Don't take on the manufactured storms. Understand the process instead. Don't take on the manufactured storms. You ever create any artwork, pot or painting or whatever? You know, you get these potters and they start with this hunk of clay. And at first it doesn't look like a whole lot. They put it on the wheel and you got a spinning hunk of clay. And then you got a spinning hunk of clay with a gully in it. And it looks like what I made in third grade. And then it becomes this beautiful pot. Well, don't despise the spinning hunk of clay because it's not a pot yet. It'll get there. God will bring it there. But if I'm oriented toward my emotions in the process, because I may love the person or whatever, I'll become anxious and say, it isn't there yet. And God says, no kidding. It isn't done yet. But what if they hurt themselves in the process? They're on the wheel. The wheel spins. Don't be afraid of the spinning. It can produce a manufactured storm if you don't operate toward faith in the spinning. But we do this all the time. We operate in these manufactured storms because we're not operating in the right perceptions. There is no storm, and there is no mountain. There is only my perception. So if I'm operating in faith and humility toward the Word of God, toward the promises of God, and toward the character of God, what I see isn't storm. What I see is God working. What I see isn't a mountain. What I see is an opportunity. And it's all about perceptions. So we need that faith, and we've got to have that ability. Because otherwise, when God sends a blessing, we'll see a storm. We'll see God's vehicle of blessings and we say trial, burden, difficulty. And God says, no, it's a truck full of blessing. It's not a trial or difficulty or anything at all. It's a truck full of blessing. But in my perceptions, I misidentify. And when I misidentify, I misunderstand and I start making decisions according to the wrong information. You never live in these storms. Live in humility and in faith. And there are no storms. Amen?